Well, happy Thursday to you, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for stepping away from our pledge drive, and to all the folks who have been calling in their pledges of support during this drive, we thank you so much because that helps make programs like this one possible. If you'd like to be a part of it, you are always more than welcome by calling 414-1234. That's the local number. It's 800-926-8809 of long distance between us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, this Perspectives episode was originally conceived as a chance for kind of even-handed discussion of a rather controversial issue and featuring both sides of the controversy. It's all about a proposed wastewater pipeline from Taylor County's Foley Paper Mill to empty offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. And WFSU contacted the Media Relations Office of Georgia Pacific, the plant's owner up in Atlanta. They put us in touch with the plant's media relations guy, Scott Mixon. And until yesterday morning around 8, Mr. Mixon had indicated a willingness to be a part of the program and to represent the company's position in the discussion. But during that phone call yesterday, Mr. Mixon said he would not be joining the conversation. He indicated he and Georgia Pacific had already talked with at least a couple of the other folks we invited to the show and that they didn't think further discussion with them would be productive. However, Scott did hope that WFSU would have himself and perhaps another company representative from corporate headquarters on the program by themselves sometime in the future. We're pretty jammed for schedules, guys. I don't know if we can accommodate that. We would love to. We'll see what we can do there. That said, let's meet the guests who did come in this morning. And from the Wakulla Commercial Fishermen Association, the head guy there who joins us by phone, John Taylor. Thank you so much, John.
I appreciate it.
All righty. How's everything down on the Gulf? Water's still kind of blue and green, and is it still catching an occasional fish down there?
Catching a few. The water's a little muddy, you know, waiting on some of this rainwater to clear up where we can go back to work. But other than that, we're doing good.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks don't realize that every time you get a big flush of water down following a storm, that really literally muddies the water in the Gulf and can cause a lot of disruption to the fishing situation. We'll check back with you here in just a second. But again, thanks for joining us. An old friend, Linda Young, director of the Clean Water Network of Florida, is in studio with us. And good to see you, Linda.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Boy, you've been a busy gal. I understand that there's even a big hearing on water quality that's going on down at Universal Orlando today. That meeting is going on, I believe, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Florida's water and lots of meetings all over the state, and we're working very hard to get some better protections for Florida's waters everywhere.
Well, so happy that you're part of this discussion today, and thanks for coming in. And right next door to Linda is Howard Kessler, Wakulla County Commissioner, presently representing District 3, but is running for District 1 in the November 8th general election. And good to see you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Tom. I just want to add one thing on things that are happening with water. We also have right here in town, I believe it's October 9th, where John Moran is going to be at FSU at the School of Medicine presenting a program on water and our future here in Florida.
Well, that is certainly on a state that is bordered on essentially three sides by salt water and is on top of one of the largest freshwater aquifers in the planet. There would be no Florida without water, essentially.
That's correct, plus all our rivers and lakes and other waters.
Let's get to an overview of the situation. Again, I was really hoping that Scott could join us there from Georgia Pacific. We didn't want to get into a slugfest on this thing. But, Linda, if we could start with you, talk a little bit about this proposal, because in the Tallahassee Democrat and some other media, we have seen of late from Georgia Pacific advertising saying that the company is trying to revive the old Fenn-Holloway River, which comes essentially from the plant down there in Taylor County, right above Perry. I think it's been around since, 1954? That's how long the Foley plant has been in operation. And all plants that make paper generate waste, and they have to get rid of it somehow. So what's the deal with the Foley plant right now?
That's correct. well, unfortunately, there's not really a Fenn-Holloway River per se anymore. What we call the Fenn-Holloway River is 100% paper mill effluent about 95% of the time. If you have, you know, huge rain, of course, then you get, you know, some other water in there. But it's mostly paper mill effluent. And this is, you know, because they use a tremendous amount of groundwater to do their pulp and paper work. And so the natural water in that area is gone. There used to be a 50,000-acre inland bay that fed the Fenn Holloway and the you know, some of the other rivers in that area, the Ekenfina, and they drained it and cut all the trees, all the hardwoods down, and planted pine trees in there. And so the rivers lost their headwaters. So now the river is the paper mill waste, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 million gallons a day. And it it obviously does not meet water quality standards or come anywhere close to it. And they've been allowed to exist like this for going on, you know, 70 years, 65, 70 years. The impact of that has been huge. And my organization and many local people and lots of people and groups have been really pushing the state and the EPA to make them modernize, clean up their mill and their effluent and do something different. And, you know, they have been very, very slow about making improvements. They have made some improvements. They did finally a couple of years ago install oxygen delignification, which reduces the amount of chlorine-based bleaching chemicals that they use. That was an improvement, you know, but almost every other mill in the country did that 20 years ago, including Georgia-Pacific's mills. You know, just this year they bought they have two mills there essentially. They have a dissolving mill and a fluff pulp mill. The dissolving mill is a very it's called a specialty pulp. It's a very, very polluting process, and there's only four of these types of mills in the whole country. And that's the one that's really, really the most backwards and is far more polluting than the other one. But earlier this year they finally replaced some very basic equipment called brown stock washers and screen room. I won't say replaced, they upgraded. I'm not sure what that means, but they upgraded them. So, you know, the mill has made very incremental improvements, but they're still violating water quality standards for at least 12 or more serious pollutants. And rather than go ahead and make the investment that they need to make, which they can well afford. They're owned by the Koch brothers, which is one of the wealthiest corporations in the country. They brag on their website they make $1 million a day in profit. And, you know, they need to go ahead and install the technology in both sides of their, you know, both mills and clean up their effluent.
Well, what they are proposing right now, though, is instead of using the Fenn Holloway, which is the traditional way of diverting the wastewater from the plant and out into the Gulf of Mexico, to essentially pipeline the effluent out into the Gulf offshore. I think what the old saying is that the solution to pollution is dilution and ostensibly be less harmful, certainly to what's left of the Fenn Holloway, which the company says it is now trying to rehabilitate or will revive once this thing is done. Commissioner Kessler, what's the fear as far as Wakulla County is concerned? You're not in Taylor. You're over next door in Wakulla County. So what's the beef you have with it?
Well, there are many concerns that the county has, and I'm glad we have John Taylor on the phone today because his concerns as a commercial fisherman certainly go to the crux of the matter. We also have a fledgling oyster farming industry that is trying to get off the ground in Wakulla County, and we're very concerned about the waters and how they're affected by a plant that is proposing to dump these pollutants, right into the path. We're 20 miles away as the crow flies from the Fen Holloway mouth. So this really is right at our doorstep. You know, I grew up on Long Island, which was a fishing community on the South Shore. It's called Freeport. And I had a little 14-foot boat for most of mine growing up and couldn't go over to some of the big fishing grounds that were outside of Manhattan. But there was one famous fishing ground that was called the Acid Grounds, and people would get these big fish out there. And come to find out that the city of New York had used for a long period of time a method of getting rid of their garbage by hauling barges out with garbage and dumping them in this area that became known as the Acid Grounds. You know, sometimes things can attract large fish, but what's in those fish is of real concern. And so what would be in the fish that are in the environment of this pollutant pipe from Foley is of concern to us. We don't want people avoiding eating fish that come from Florida because they are fearful that those fish contain high levels of pollutants that they don't want to put in their body.
And we have heard some of the concerns in other parts of the state where there have been outbreaks of toxic algae blooms and all of that because of high levels of nutrient pollution. But here you're talking actually chemical pollution, which is of a different sort, but can also have a lot of nasty outcomes at the same time. Want to talk with you, John Taylor, on the phone in just a moment here after we take an upcoming break here on Perspectives. And we want to give you ample time to talk about the concerns of the fisher folk in Wakulla County and beyond in regards to this proposal to put a pipeline from the Foley Paper Mill in neighboring Taylor County out into the Gulf of Mexico. And once again, if you're just joining us, we had hoped to have some representatives of Georgia Pacific, the owner of the plant, on with us to have their side of the story on this discussion here on Perspectives. But if you would like to air your side of the story, call 414-1234, 800-926-8809, particularly if you are in Taylor County. We want to hear from you, too, and what your thoughts are regarding this issue right here on Perspectives. Back on Perspectives, and a reminder, you can always find the show online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click Perspectives. We archive past shows, try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when the program actually airs. Talking about the proposed pipeline from the Foley plant to the paper mill in Taylor County out into the Gulf of Mexico with our guest Linda Young, director of the Clean Water Network of Florida, Howard Kessler, Wakulla County Commissioner, and on the phone with us, the head of the Wakulla Commercial Fishermen Association, John Taylor. And John, Commissioner Kessler kind of set you up there. What are the concerns that the anglers have in Wakulla County and the surrounding Gulf area when it comes to this particular project?
Well, our biggest concern, you know, is water quality. We want to catch a sustainable fish to feed the communities with and everything. We don't want no that toxins and all that stuff in the fish. You know, we'll be selling the contaminated fish to somebody. But also, you know, water quality, you know, is our biggest concern. You know, no fisherman is going to catch something that's bad for the people. And you know, we're working just as hard as we can here, you know, to build our community back up. Our fishermen has took several struggles in their lifetime to get back where we are, and we're really not there yet, but we really do not need this Foley plant dumping toxins in our waters.
Well, you know the currents and the situation in the Gulf probably just about as good as anyone. So what's this situation there? That stuff comes out, and I'm not even sure how far out in the Gulf is the proposed pipeline supposed to go. Linda?
Well, they say it's supposed to come to the mouth of the river, and if it comes to the mouth of the river, it becomes tidal. So then it'll come 20 miles in very short of a time, you know, and it'll be in our bays. And then, it, you know, that stuff will kill our shellfish stocks and kill our run fish. You know, it'll damage us real, real bad.
Okay, so being tidal, then it kind of hugs the shoreline and spreads out in that direction and doesn't necessarily go like 15 miles offshore and just kind of piddle out in the middle of the Gulf, right?
No, sir, it won't do that. It'll be tidal, you know. It'll some of it will go offshore, and a lot of it will come inshore and hit all of our creeks. And, you know, the next major river we have is Wakulla Springs. And, you know, that's a beautiful springs. You know, that's what Wakulla is built on. And we don't need that there.
And how does that work as far as what, I guess, the progression of this, using a little bit of devil's advocate here from the company, that they have, as you said, Linda Young, moved to mitigate some of the pollutants that come out of the wastewater stream from the plant. But what is actually in the plant effluent right now? What are some of the biggies that you're saying, oh, this is very nasty material?
Well, it has dioxin in it, for one thing, because they they use chlorine-based bleaching chemicals, and especially in their on the dissolving side, they use very harsh chlorine-based chemicals, and it creates dioxins. Dioxin is hydrophobic. It clings to the solids. And right now, they're allowed to have up to, I think it's 25,000 pounds of solids in their discharge every day. But here's a big problem in my mind. There's many problems with this, but right now they discharge their 40 to 50 million gallons a day 26 miles upstream. The Fenn Holloway River winds and curves and eventually gets down to the Gulf. And in those 26 miles, much of those solids settle out, and the river bottom of the Fenn Holloway is highly contaminated with dioxin. The Fish and Wildlife Service has done extensive sampling. And when that river's gone, it's not going to be fishable, swimmable. It's going to be bikeable, hikeable, but it's going to be contaminated. And when they move it to the mouth of the river, then all those solids contaminated with dioxin are going to land right there on the beach, right there. And it's going to be a, you know, the full mass of it. And so there's dioxin, there's unionized ammonia, there's a lot of color, there's 400,000 pounds of color every day. There's there's no oxygen in the water. You know, even after they make their improvements, they still will not meet water quality standards. They're going to have several mixing zones. Their effluent will still be chronically toxic. They have a mixing zone in their permit already for the end of the new location, a mixing zone for chronic toxicity, because it'll be way out there, you know, beyond their pipe before there's any hope of not having a toxic environment. And that's what John's trying to explain, is that this is going to – they have killed the Fenn Holloway River, and it's a huge problem. I acknowledge that. Now they want to take it and move it to the mouth of the river and do essentially the same thing to the Gulf. And why should they be able to do that to our waters? These people like John Taylor and other fishermen and fishing families, they rely on those waters. And the tourism industry relies on those waters. Nobody's going to come to Wakulla County to buy a house, a place to fish and get away from the city and, you know, relax and have a good time in nature if there's no fish.
Well, conversely, you have the highest level of pollution would probably be right there being tidal, as we just heard, right at Taylor County. You've got Keaton Beach, you have Steinhatchee, you have a number of other developments that kind of rely on clean water too. Commissioner Kessler, what do you hear from your colleagues over in Taylor County? They have any concerns about this, or are they more concerned with the number of people who actually work at the Foley Mill who might lose jobs if the mill is forced to do even more retrofitting and improvements than it already has?
Yes. Yeah, so the evening after the Wakulla County Board of County Commissioners passed a resolution opposing the pipe being moved, I traveled to Taylor County, a Board of County Commissioner meeting the next night. So did Commissioner Chairman Proctor. And we both spoke at that meeting. The reason why we were there is that their Board of County Commissioners was proposing a resolution in support of the moving of the pipe and support of the plant. And the evening started with a preface to we don't need commissioners from other counties telling us how to do our business here in Taylor County. And I certainly appreciate that. But I think that people in Taylor County, going back in years, made a big decision. They chose jobs and understood there was going to be an environmental consequence. Wakulla County didn't choose those jobs. Not that it was offered to Wakulla County, but we didn't choose that. So we don't really want to, you know, we didn't share in those jobs that were created there. We certainly don't want to share in their pollution as they move it closer to our county. And when you dump those pollutants into the Gulf, it then becomes a matter of concern and direct impact on Wakulla County. It is not Taylor County's Gulf. It is not Wakulla County's Gulf. It is a common resource for all of the fishing communities and people that live along the shore.
Well, you bring up a really good point. And John Taylor, let me give that to you. Wakulla County doesn't have the only fishing industry along the Gulf of Mexico. There's still a couple, three folks that fish out of Taylor County too, aren't there?
Yes, sir, there are.
Yeah, what are they saying about all this?
Them guys are on board with us. You know, they don't need no more damage than what they've got now. And, you know, we're a striving community here. And, you know, we're fishing just as hard as we can, you know, to make a living. And it's hard. You know, with the net limitations that they gave us, and we're fighting against that. And then here we are going to be slapped with this Foley thing coming out, you know, and putting pollutions in our water. And these guys, we're already struggling. We just don't need this. And it's my opinion, honestly, this is another way just to put us completely out. And we're not going to do it, you know. In the last couple months, you know, I have brought all the fishermen together all the way around the coast of Florida. We have came back together. And there's thousands of us now that we're fighting. And we're not going to stand here and let them do this to us. So.
Well, we got a email here that just arrived from Madison County, which is neighboring there to Taylor. His name is Dean. He says, if the water is not clean enough to discharge into the river, how can it be clean enough to pump into the Gulf? They must be forced, he says, to clean up their discharge before it leaves their property. Linda Young, what do you think?
Well, that's exactly the solution to this, and the technology is readily available. There's many mills around the country and the world who have updated and upgraded. My organization did a 3-year study back in 2000 to 2003 or so in conjunction with the mill, which was called Buckeye then, the EPA, and the DEP. And we all brought all of our experts to the table, and we worked for 3 years. We met monthly and told our experts to explore every possible option that the mill could have for cleaning up their waste. And we produced a report. The experts came up with a number of options. There's numerous options available to them. And they weren't that much more expensive than building a pipe. This pipe is 5 feet in diameter. 5 feet. It's huge.
And what's the distance there from the Foley plant to the mouth of the Fenn Holloway?
The straight shot is 15 miles. And like I said, the river winds 26 miles because it's all windy, but the straight shot is 15 miles. That's expensive. And so John is right. They need to clean it up, but they just flat refuse. At the end of the 3 years, they had all these options on the table, and everybody's hopeful and feeling like, we can do this. We can fix this problem, save the jobs. You know, everybody can win. And the men from the mill said, no, we're going to build a pipe.
Let's add Reed to the discussion here. He awaits here on line two to add to the conversation. Hi, Reed. Welcome.
Hey, Tom, how are you this morning?
You're just as fine as proverbial frog here, son.
I'm glad to hear it. Just one quick thing. You might want to tell your folks during the pledge drive not to say that the clear tote bag is approved for taking into Doak Campbell. A lot of people will fill it with guns and booze and take it in there and think that's fine.
Well, you see, we believe in total transparency there, even in our tote bags, Reed, so there.
I want to congratulate the commissioner from Wakulla County for making a great point that I was sitting there talking about when he and Commissioner Proctor went down there, and the Taylor County folks were a little perturbed that we were interfering in their business. My suggestion would be then we convince the plant to run the pipeline rather than to the Gulf, run it to build a giant holding pond behind some of the major subdivisions in Perry and the surrounding area. Dump the effluent there, and let's see how quickly the Taylor County people change their mind. I would love to hear some folks from Perry in the area call into the show today and tell us how they would like that.
That's an interesting suggestion. How do we get that permitted there? Well, I think we have a gentleman from DEP. We'll get him on, and I'm sure that we can move ahead in a sprightly fashion to get that one done. But that is a good point. And I think you had remarked, Linda, that the technology, if not to totally clean up the paper-making operation, at least to seriously curtail the amount of pollutants that escape the mill, that technology does exist.
No, they could clean it up to pure. They could make it pure.
Without costing any jobs or shutting down the plant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was – I mean, there's filters, and there, you know, they'd have to do a combination of in-mill technology upgrades. You know, like they put the oxygen to lignification on their fluff line. They'd have to put that on their dissolving line and eliminate the use of chlorine. That is the big problem here, is the chlorine prevents them from recycling their water. You know, the pollution is one thing. The draining of the aquifer is another. And I want to give you a little bit of an analogy real quick so people can kind of visualize. 40 million gallons of waste a day. That is equivalent to a city the size of Miami. 400,000 people would generate that much sewage effluent. The difference here is that sewage is a lot cleaner than this, what's coming out of this mill. And so ask yourself this. What if all of a sudden someone said, hey, we can plop down a city the size of Miami and Taylor County if you'll just let us dump all the sewage out in the Gulf? Huh. Can you imagine? What if the city of Tallahassee said, we're tired of all these spray fields. We're just going to build a pipe and send it to the Gulf. That'll protect Wakulla Springs. You know, that'll be just as good, right?
Yeah, I see Commissioner Kester over here on the verge of a stroke. I don't think that.
But I'm just saying, it's such a ridiculous idea to build a pipe and dump it in the Gulf. Who would ever suggest such a crazy thing?
Well, and as far as John Taylor, as far as the fishing community in Wakulla County and beyond is concerned, this is just part of a larger threat to you guys. I was looking on the website not too terribly long ago, and beyond this, you have threats from, as we were discussing down at U. Taylor's house a couple weekends ago there, the 2-inch rule on the nets that provides so much overkill to you guys and depletes fishing stocks and all that. It is tough to be a fisherman in your shoes right now, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. You know, I mean, I emphasize, you know, we're already struggling, and we don't need any more problems that we already have that we're trying to fix now. But I would invite them guys, you know, let us catch some fish right there locally in their river and have a fish ride. If they'll eat them, we'll eat them.
That sounds like fun. Who brings the sauce and the lemons on this one? I wonder. That'd be a Wakulla County thing, Commissioner. Or
well, you know, we had two presentations by representatives of the Foley Cellulose Paper Mill plant before the Wakulla County Board of County Commissioners, which led to a workshop where we invited many participants, Linda Young being one amongst them, but also the representative from the plant again, who again denied they didn't come to the workshop. During one of those workshops, there was somehow the invitation of a fish fry did come up. And I believe it there was a refusal to eat the fish. I think it was made in these terms, we'll get the fish from a different source. And that's really if those representatives from the Foley plant come and appear on a program here, I would hope that the question would be asked, would you be willing to drink your cleaned up effluent? Would you be able to drink it? Would you be willing to drink it? You go on a cruise ship, they're recycling the water, they're making it pure enough that you can drink it. But what's happening here? And there's a big difference between doing what's legally required of you and being a good steward of the environment.
Let's hold that thought here, Commissioner. We'll come back and finish that right on the other side of this break here on Perspectives, talking about the Foley Paper Mill's proposed wastewater pipe from the plant out to the headwaters of the Fenn Holloway River and then into the Gulf of Mexico with the Wakulla Commercial Fishermen Association head John Taylor, Linda Young with the Clean Water Network of Florida, and Wakulla County Commissioner Howard Kessler. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives, and 414-1234 is our local call-in number. If it's long distance, 800-926-8809. Of course, on a cell phone, nothing is long distance anymore, is it? Or Perspectives at WFSU.org. Particularly if you live in Taylor County, if you've got some thoughts on this, because we want to be as even-handed in this discussion as we possibly can. This is not a let's beat up on the paper mill. Folks, this was never intended to be that, and we understand that there are so few industrial jobs in the state of Florida right now that it is rather unusual to have a facility like that that can employ hundreds of people at really above what median wage is. For most folks who live in Taylor County, it is not exactly the most affluent county in Florida. Neither is Wakulla, of course, Commissioner, but still when you have jobs like that that pay pretty well, they have a decent benefits program, and people think, my gosh, anything that endangers those jobs, of course we're going to be worried about. And that this is not really, Commissioner, a battle between folks like John Taylor or the commercial fishermen and the folks who work in the Foley plant over in Taylor County, is it? Some people have made it out to be that.
No, it's absolutely not. Those are the boots on the ground people. They're not involved in the policymaking that is driving the non-cleanup that has been going on for years. So, and I can't explain why this is happening, because it seems to me when you have a profitable plant and management has a profitable plant, it's not a large stretch to look at saying, listen, we can clean up this plant a whole bunch more than we've been doing, save those jobs of the people, and improve our environment. That's a win-win for everyone.
Okay, and Linda Young, you have done some of the metrics there in your research on what would be, to your way of thinking. Now, Georgia Pacific may totally disagree with you on this, but from what you have seen, what would be the impact on the profit and loss statement of the Foley Mill if the improvements that you have suggested are put in place?
Well, when we did our study back in around 2000 to 2003, we told the experts to don't even consider the cost while you're looking at the technology and the solutions. Just look far and wide, other mills, all the tech, everything that's available, and see what they could do. And then we worked backwards from the water quality requirements to make sure that there was something in place to deal with every one of the issues that they have with water quality. Once we had the various options sort of sketched out in very in great detail. They weren't sort of sketched out. They were in detail sketched out. Then they put cost to it. And so, you know, that was now 15 years ago, and I have no idea. But at the time, they were talking about the cost of that 15-mile pipe, 5 feet in diameter, being, I think, near about $100 million. And for very close to the same amount, they could also, you know, they could spend that money on these improvements and upgrades. And I think it was a little more. Maybe it was $20, $30 million over that. But then you'd have a clean discharge.
And if you're talking a million-dollar, essentially $1 million a day profit margin for that operation, that'd be like an extra month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd like to maybe have Linda join in with some more information. You know, this issue of water quality, as I understand it, and you're much better versed on this than I am, but as I understand it, even with the plant's proposed improvements, when that pipe, if it were to come to the Gulf, the water coming out of that pipe, the effluent, would still not meet water quality standards that are in place today. And because they would not meet those water quality standards, the testing would not be done at the pipe, and it would be done a distance away to allow a mixing to take place with Gulf waters, and after that, a test. Is that true?
Right. Well, after it's diluted with the Gulf, you know, at some point. But, you know, even now with the discharge 26 miles upstream, that discharge has created a 10-square-mile, what's been labeled as a dead zone. The grass beds can't grow. The color is too dark. When it finally thins out, you know, dilutes out and it's not too dark, then the nutrients cause algal blooms, which further clouds the water. So, you know, who knows what it'll be when it's 26 miles downstream. But it has already had a huge impact. And so their permit that has already been included in their current permit, the permit for the end of the new location is in it. We know what the permit limits are. And like I said, they will not be able to meet the state requirements for chronic toxicity. There's some heavy metals they have issues with. They essentially don't have a dioxin limit. The limit, they use a technology limit. It's not a water quality limit, so it's ridiculously high. The temperature will be really warm, so it'll attract manatees and turtles. You know, there's a, and that reminds me of something I want to throw in, if I may. Jack Rudlow at the lab, and marine lab in Panacea, discovered, he noticed with the green turtles. Was it the green? No, the Kemp Ridley. Which one is it?
Maybe the green.
The green turtles, yeah. Every single green turtle that he catches has the tumors all over it, the papillofibrosis. I can't think of the name of that.
Yeah, but he's, on his website, you see pictures of some of the turtles that they've recovered that have these incredible growth. Sometimes it's over their eyes. They can't see. It's all
terrible.
Kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, he learned that there's some scientists that had a grant from the state of Florida who were catching the green turtles between the Big Bend Seagrasses Aquatic Preserve, which begins up in Wakulla County and extends all the way down to, I think, Citrus County. And they're studying green turtles. 79% of the green turtles have those tumors. And that is the highest incidence in the world. It's shocking. And I've been doing some research on this, and I thought, well, it has to be from the toxic chemicals that are coming out of that, because there's not a whole lot else happening along that area there, you know, other than that mill. I assumed it was the mill, but I read some studies from scientists that are looking at this, and they said two of the things that seems to cause these tumors is high temperature, warm waters, and nutrients. which you have both of those coming from the mill, too. So temperature is very important. We don't want manatees running to this discharge for warmth in the winter. It's not going to be good for them. And then there's dissolved oxygen is a problem. You know, they're still not going to be anywhere near of the quality that they need to be for a healthy ecosystem.
Well, we have quality and we also have quantity issues there. And that's thrown back to you then, John Taylor, as a professional angler here. What have you seen in regards to the fish populations in the area around Wakulla County that you and your cohorts are working? And also, have you noticed any increase in the number of maybe funky fish, if you will, as Linda was saying, when it comes to the turtles and the tumors? You still there, John? Okay, he just dropped off. We hope we can get him back on there. But I have heard that from some of the folks who work those waters, and some of them are saying, well, gee, it may be because of the interjection of some of the chemicals from the Deepwater Horizon spill, because the Mag Lab right up the road here has shown that those chemicals, depending on how much ultraviolet radiation gets into them, where they are in the water column, all of that can have profound, long-lasting impact on a lot of the fish populations in the Gulf.
Correct. But worldwide, you know, the incidence of these tumors is on the increase worldwide. And worldwide, you see about 50% of the green turtles have these tumors. In that area of the Big Bend Seagrass Aquatic Preserve, down to, I think, it's St. Martin's Aquatic Preserve, the incidence is almost 80%. It's like 79%.
Goodness. So you're saying this is essentially an aquatic canary in the coal mine,
yes,
if you will.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Where are we, Commissioner, in the whole process right now as far as permitting the pipeline and additional input that may be forthcoming from either the Wakulla County Commission or Leon or any of the other surrounding counties? Where do we go from here in this whole thing?
Well, I'll comment on it, but I'll also ask Linda to join in on the answer to that question. Right now, it's in the hands of the Corps of Army Engineers, Army Corps of Engineers. As I understand it, they can permit this pipe, and if so, that if there was no other intervening force, such as the federal EPA, then that plant would be able to build that pipe.
And we have, Linda Young, I believe, what, a special exemption for Florida because we have unique waters that are not like those in Wyoming or Montana. So the nationwide EPA water standards really don't apply in Florida. Is that part of this whole argument too?
Well, unfortunately, we're stuck with Florida's water quality standards, which, by the way, our governor and his DEP just increase the amount of toxic chemicals and carcinogens that can be dumped in our waters. Now, it's not final. It's being challenged by several local governments and the Seminole tribe. My organization's fighting it on the federal level. But they're trying to allow companies like the paper mills, who have also intervened in this new rule because they think that they should be able to dump even more toxic chemicals. And these are human health-based toxics that cause cancer or serious diseases or birth defects. It's just hard to understand why anybody would want more toxic chemicals in our water. EPA will have to approve the rule. EPA objected to this pipe back in the late 90s and put it on hold. That's why I initiated the study in 2000, because we lost the friendly EPA with the Clinton administration going out. We don't know if EPA would step in again, but right now it all hangs on the Corps permit. And that's why Wakulla County Commission passed a resolution against it. We're talking to the other commissioners in the surrounding counties to get more of these. We've submitted lots of comments, lots of expert witness information. You know, the Corps does not say no very often. It's rare for them to say no, but the federal government has had heartburn over this for a long time. Like I said, the idea of building a pipe to the Gulf of Mexico with 40 million gallons a day of industrial waste is even you know, with lots and lots of compromises going on, that is such an outrageous proposal that it's, you know, I think that they're looking at it very hard.
But there are trade-offs in life, and the company, again, saying, well, yes, but we're spending all this money to rehab the Fenn Holloway and turn it into, if not a pristine wetland environment, at least it'll be a lot better than it is today.
Well, that's part of the problem, is that when EPA stepped in and objected, they looked at that, you know, restoration of the Fenn Holloway, and they said, actually, it's going to be dry. And all these dioxin-contaminated sediments are going to be exposed. And there's endangered species like wood storks. They'll be out there looking for frogs and stuff. And, you know, it's going to create a threat and a very adverse condition, you know, in a different way. And so that's why they objected to it and stopped the permit in the first place.
Well, you know the clean water side of it, and Commissioner Kessler, you know some of the politics involved there, and is it just back to, again, the folks who on one hand are very concerned about keeping a good environmental stewardship scenario going, whether it's air, land, water, and the folks who say, well, if you would just remove the regulations and allow business to do its thing, business will always do the right thing, or most of the time anyway, but you're now setting different people against each other, the anglers versus the factory workers, and this is a terrible thing.
Well, it's always the end of the world when that kind of proposition is brought up. At least that's the story. I think it's a bigger issue than Wakulla County or Taylor County. I think the issue goes back to your opening statement, more or less, when you were talking about the answer to pollution is dilution, and I don't think as we as a planet increase our population, we as a county increase our population, overall increase of population, dilution can't handle it anymore. And what we're seeing is a lot of problems are now starting to arise because we've overtaxed the ability of the natural resource to handle it on a dilution basis. It doesn't make any sense to what we've done here in the state of Florida to increase the amounts of pollutants that are going to be allowed to be dumped in our waters. It makes no sense at all. Yet, politically, this is happening. I think that on a larger scale, there has to be a realization that there is no throwing away things anymore. We just can't throw away this dioxin. It's going to end up someplace. It's either going to end up on the dry riverbed of a Fenn Holloway River if that pipe is put in, because there won't be a Fenn Holloway River, or it will be in fish that are accumulating dioxin that is going to be eaten by people. There's no throwing away anymore. It's going to end up in our systems unless we take that hazardous material and isolate it from our water resources.
You're saying there is no away.
That's correct.
We really appreciate your coming in and talking about this, and we truly regret the fact that the folks from Georgia-Pacific declined to come in to join the conversation, and we will continue this conversation. This is not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination yet, and we certainly want to keep our listenership on top of it, and we really appreciate Linda Young with the Clean Water Network, your coming in, your leadership on this, and Howard Kessler fighting down there in Wakulla County. Good luck with the upcoming election, sir.
Thank you.
And to our good friend John Taylor from the Wakulla Commercial Fishermen Association. Thanks so much for weighing in, John. And you guys bring home a good catch today. We'll be looking forward to that. Thanks also to Lydell, who has been working the phones, and Taylor back there pushing the buttons, making us sound so good today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. One of the bodies of water besides the Fenn Holloway that flows into the Gulf is the Apalachicola River to the west. And we'll take a river trek along the mighty Apalachicola next week right here on Perspectives.
copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.